In June 2020 started off real weird. At the end of 2019, maybe from September to October, there was threats and talk of a World War III. There was a couple of assassinations and missile launches. And by the end of 2019 and the beginning of 2020, we were told, I believe, by Iran or Syria that America was going to pay. During that time, and a little bit before, there was a virus allegedly starting in China and making its rounds through Russia. Well, I don't think it hit Russia, but it hit Italy, it hit Iran and other places in the so-called Middle East, and then it made its ways to the Americas, right? Better known as Turtle Island, if I'm not mistaken. And and right now, in the midst of a pandemic, a what could be considered a soft lockdown, a quarantine, we have witnessed and are experiencing national civil unrest for the killing of a black man. This is The Blues Narrative, Volume 1. I've been speaking to dark and brown-hued people, melanated people, of the Americas, and I'm speaking to what was once referred to as the Estalusi, and now that which means black man. I'm speaking to a black Seminole, original, I believe the term is first American. And we're going to, right, that's the term, right, Brother Walto?
Well, it's first American if you're in Canada.
So what's the term here?
American Indian.
Okay. So let's, before we get into what's going on right now, which I'm sure you'll be able to share with us, this is not a first of all these, that all the stuff that we're experiencing, correct?
No. You have to. This started back in, around 1820, with the Indian Removal Act. So see, that's what we actually suffered under, is the Indian Removal Act. When they went from being an Indian to being assimilated.
Assimilated into European culture or the new United States?
Well, now, where is the dividing line between the two?
Please.
Because see, there ain't actually a dividing line between the two of them. They're the same people. The United States didn't lose a European concept or structure much, but they did learn from us. Because you take, like, even the Constitution of the United States, that came from the Iroquois, or the Six Nations Pact, is where they got it from. Europeans didn't have that much education or intelligence when they got here to even set up nothing that looks like that. So they took what was already here and stuck their name on it and claimed that they did. But that's not exactly what the history books are going to tell you.
No.
Remember now, when these so-called white folks, and I use that term specifically because there is really no such thing as a white or black person, and you can actually trace the date of the birth of a white people as a separate entity in this country. That has a birth date. They didn't come here being white Europeans. If you go back to the Immigration Act of 1870, you will quickly see that Caucasians and Aryans were not considered free white people in the United States in 1870. Another thing, which I find completely hilarious, is these people that claim that they were free had to have a Revolutionary War talking about we want to be free. Now, when you ever heard of a free man talking about he want to be free?
You know, let's stay there for a minute.
Okay.
Because that's one of the most ironic and mistaught happenings on this land.
No, let me slow you down there.
Okay.
That's really not the most important thing that they left out. What they left out is what happened in America after, North America. Let me clean it up. What happened in North America after King Philip's War, Metacon. Because after King Philip's War is when you started seeing American Indians actually being sold into the slave market.
And this is what where we get the quote-unquote domestic slave trade.
Yeah, that's what they called it.
Right, that's what they called it.
It was a kidnapping operation. If you were to ask me how it really looked, they were snatching up folks wherever they found them and just selling them off. And when they sold them off, then they became Negroes, which in actuality is a term for enslaved race.
So, okay, now with that being said, you know, I want to get back to the Negro term, but the Declaration of Independence,
the Constitution.
Right.
The Constitution was ours.
Right. No, hold on, because you brought up the Revolutionary War and how the irony is a quote unquote free man say having a Revolutionary War, and then we have a Declaration of Independence with that war and the Constitution that they
The Constitution came first. Right. Constitution was organized and they started working on it because before the United States was the United States, it was the Confederacy of the 13 colonies. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And under the Articles of Confederation is where you start to bring the Constitution into effect.
Is this around the time of the Revolutionary War?
It was right before the Revolutionary War.
Okay.
Right after the Revolutionary War.
Okay. Okay. Now,
see, there was a point in time there was like a break in there. It didn't go from the Revolutionary War into the United States automatically.
Okay.
They had to work that in.
Okay. So there was a little bit of space, but they were working what they were trying to implement. They were working what they was trying to do. It just took a little time. Now, so some people believe George Washington was the first president of this. I don't even know what to call it anymore.
Well, I'm not. Well, here's the deal. Let me help you with this.
Okay.
George Washington was the first president of the United States of America, but he wasn't the first president. There were six other presidents under the Articles of Confederation.
Which were black.
Well, at least one of them they say is black. A guy named Jim Henson, I think. And I know his last name is Henson, first name, I'm not exactly.
I believe it's John.
But I think it's John Henson. Okay. Yeah. That's where that story comes from.
Okay, so, but now, I've heard and I've read a couple of places, and you and I both know that you got to read more than three resources because the first six were black, and, you know, they were Moore/Masons who helped construct the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence.
Now you start to get into the good part because you were correct when you said that they were Moors.
Okay.
People had this misunderstanding when they say European, they automatically consider it to be our pale brothers. But actually, them Europeans had the same skin tone as we got.
Which is why...
Can't nobody get...
Go ahead. No.
Can't nobody get close to you unless it's somebody that look like you.
You know,
so they come in with people that look like us, and we started doing business deals. See, the whole thing was a business arrangement that got completely out of hand. But it started out as a business arrangement.
So we're talking trade, right?
Of course, that's what it was trade. So you got to go back into your Bible and look, and you see that when Joseph was in Egypt, he was giving them people corn.
Correct.
That's corn correct. Only grows here in this part of the world. It's indigenous to this part of the world. So you need to understand if they had corn in Egypt, that means they had trade going on between this part of the world and Egypt.
Bingo. Yes.
So the concept of Columbus coming over here to discover some new land is nonsense, man. It wasn't the new land. Matter of fact, if you go back and look at the books, they'll tell you, the rocks will tell you, and the trees will tell you that this country is the oldest land mass on the planet.
Are we talking America, or are we saying that all the land masses are connected?
Well, of course all the land masses are connected. Man, look at the map. And understand, a lot of that water you see now was land then. You see?
So it's not that the land mass separated, is just the fact that water covered different parts of
Exactly. At the end of the ice age, when the ice cap started melting, they flooded every damn thing. But this is still scientifically proven to be the oldest land on the planet. The first land out the water is the way that they were putting it back in the 1800s. This is why we can grow food in abundance over here, and everybody else got to struggle for growth. We have what is known as soil. You go to Africa or over in the Mediterranean, in some of those places, what you see is dirt. It ain't old enough to be unturned itself in the soil yet.
So, with that being said,
we got soil.
No, because that says a lot, because that explains... Why? Well, I don't say that explains. I'll approach it this way. Is that why, as much as they tell us this, another continent is the richest continent, but everybody is focused on America?
America is still the originator of everything. And they don't want that known because they don't want to admit that their theories about who was here are completely daggone wrong. They try to tell you mankind first arose in Africa. But you can go back and you can Google a guy named Albert Perry, whose DNA was 340,000 years old, which is exactly 200,000 years older than anything that come out of Africa. And he was found here in America. Now, when they went to go search for the DNA, they went to Africa. They found 11 people in that whole daggum landmass that had the same DNA profile that he had.
Wow.
At 340,000 years old, everybody should have that DNA.
That's correct. And was he a quote unquote so called black man?
Yeah, he was from North Carolina. The descendant of a slave too.
Are you saying there was slavery over about almost 400,000 years ago?
you know, but there was slavery here recently. Only it wasn't Africa that was the slave. Now, I remember reading, well, it's been quite a while back. I don't even remember what book it was in. I can probably find it if I look. But there was a court case in North Carolina back in the early 1700s where a plantation owner had to sail over here to take his overseer to court for not taking care of his property correctly. Okay? Guess where that guy came from when he sailed over there?
Where?
North Africa. There's a funny thing going on right there. Because, see, 1492 is an interesting date for several reasons. Because three things that I knew of that happened in 1492 that probably changed the way everything looks that we see today. Because in 1492, the Moors got kicked out of Europe. 1492, Christopher Columbus, descendant of a Moor, sailed to the Americas. In 1492, the Moors also went into Africa and destroyed the Sangay Empire.
That's all I can say. So with that being said, let's now that happened, and now on the Americas, this leads to several wars, and then that leads to some breaking up of the Indian nations and pinning them against each other, and this was in the Cherokee Nation, or am I getting it incorrect?
No, let me help you out, because you're on the right trail. Just need to kind of sharpen your pencil a little bit.
Okay.
When they first came here, they came here as friends. And then as they got themselves rooted, this is where Carolina's history comes in so interesting, too, is you can get to the bottom of it. They make it hard as they can. But they came here as friends, and then they started starting rivalries in the tribes. You see? Now, black people being black people, we always act like we act. So it's really not hard to get two groups of black people here in Oklahoma, I mean Oklahoma, in America to start fighting Indians. They always had little issues, just like we still have little issues now. But they took the issues that we had and made them worse. And they kept making them worse and kept making them worse until they finally just blew up everything. They used us against us. Same thing they do now.
That was my next question.
Same thing. Man, look, if you got a history book, you got a blueprint to what's going to happen to you. Because they're running the same routine again. I'm just waiting for them to come here and tell us that we won't have to go to a reservation somewhere.
So let's talk about that, Brother Walter, because in this moment that we're in, a lot of people passed on. A lot of people are not even believing a virus is actually happening. What is actually happening, and what is happening on reservations in Indian lands in regards of the virus?
Well, in regards to the virus, here's where the rubber meets the road with this virus, because if you go back and look at the scientific studies, you find people with type O blood don't really have that much concern with the virus. It'll make you sick, but it's not likely to kill you.
Okay.
Type O blood originated here in America. It's the original bloodline. That's why it's O, for original. In World War II, it was N because they call it the Negro blood. So now, most of these American, these Native Americans you find are going to be A's and B's for their blood group. A's have a terrible time with this. You see what I'm getting at?
I do.
B's are struggle, but some of them make it and some of them won't. olds get sick, they're not really supposed to do that much dying. The disease, see, this is how I knew Trump wasn't tripping. The disease is a malaria-type disease.
Mm.
Sickle cell anemia is a response that the body gives to the malaria virus.
Wow.
Who gets sickle cell anemia? Black people.
Okay.
All black people. That's our disease.
Gotcha.
You don't see no Europeans. You don't see no Europeans with sickle cell. They even found sickle cells in the mummies they poured out and down in the Mayan temple.
Mm.
We already come with a built-in defense for this disease.
Mm.
See what I'm saying?
I see.
We already have a built-in defense for malaria. That shit didn't come from Africa. Malaria is everywhere. It's ain't like malaria started in Africa and floated on an ocean wave over here to this country.
Wow. So
malaria is the body's response to, I mean, sickle cell is the body's response to being exposed to malaria.
Which is a product of the Americas.
Yeah.
Mm.
So when you see sickle cell, you see us. Mm. Have they found sickle cell in Mayan temples down there? Jesus was down there with that sickle cell. So when Trump say you go get that malaria drug and think it you gonna be all right, all he tell you is you too like some niggas over there. Now why is they telling you that you getting sick when science tells you that if your blood is an old type blood, you shouldn't be dying?
There's something else going on.
Remember when this first hit, they were going around talking about black people really didn't have much to worry about from the Rona?
I remember that.
Okay, then all of a sudden, they changed that whole story.
They sure did. Had Don Lemon on TV science, and everything.
But the science is still showing people with type O. I just checked it, not yesterday, the day before yesterday, to see if they came out and changed their standards on this. And they ain't. People with type O blood still ain't supposed to suffer that badly with this disease. Now, of course, you're going to lose some of the pre-existing condition and right. lifestyle. But you take out them two factors, and you shouldn't see many of us in the hospital.
That is true.
Not with no Rona.
With something else.
It's just like a severe flu. But then you go back, and I'll send you that video from this dude. He does videos on YouTube, do pretty cool videos. He's an ex-army dude.
Okay.
But he got kidney issues. So he started dealing and looking into what the kidney issues were telling him. And if you listen to him, you'll see why all of a sudden it was us that ended up dying in the hospital.
So
it was us that they wouldn't let nobody have no funerals on.
Mm.
They carving them bodies up, selling everything that's in them, man.
Mm. I thought, you know, I knew, I kind of feel he was going there.
A kidney is $150,000 a piece. Your kidneys, the kidneys of a 60-year-old man,
mm-hmm.
black man, so-called black man, so-called African-American, function at the same rate as the 12-year-old kidney of a non-African-American person.
Mm. Alleged African-American.
Alleged African. So-called African. You can thank Jesse Jackson for that African-American nonsense. That's his doing.
So, let me ask you this, Brother Walter. Because like myself, you like to connect the dots. Because there's always a reason for something. And if you can go back far enough, you can see.
That's right. Remember. In all things, there's two rules in this world that will keep you halfway informed. The first one is your oppressor always looks like you.
Mm.
And the second one is there is no such daggone thing as a coincidence.
Mm.
Everything got a reason. Science tells you it's cause and effect. Probably. It ain't cause and maybe will effect. See what I'm saying?
No, I do. I do.
For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. This is what science is telling you, man. And that tells you right off the bat that ain't no coincidence. It's because every action has an equal and opposite reaction.
Right. Pull, push, the whole thing.
You see what I'm saying?
No, I do. So why?
So if there's no coincidence, then you have to connect these dots.
Mm. Mm.
So that's all you got is dots to connect. So if you see something, that ain't no coincidence. You better look into it. Something else going on. Like this killing of this George Floyd guy there. And Lord knows I feel sorry for the man. But what they telling you on the news ain't true. What they showing you on the news ain't true.
I believe his fiance was a white woman, correct?
At first.
Okay, so I'm not crazy. I did see that.
Wait, wait a minute. No. Hold on. Because when you got to the funeral, that white woman that turned into a black woman with a child. How it work?
Wow.
And it's a 49-year-old man. That's a little baby. You ain't gonna have no bunch of kids.
Wow.
And they said they found fentanyl and methamphetamine in his system. Now, I got a video that shows you another angle of what's going on. Make you wonder if they didn't put the fentanyl and the methamphetamine in his system, and they was holding him down to keep him from flopping around when he was dying. Not killing him, holding him down. Killing him, they was holding him down. They was killing him, but they was holding him down so you wouldn't see if they overdosed his ass. Understand, when they do them lethal injections inside them prisons, ain't them people strapped down on that gurney?
They sure are. They sure the hell are.
Why do you think they strapped them people down on that gurney? So I'm going to tell you something, man. And you know this is true when you stop and think about it. Some people, especially if they in a messed up position, when they die, they going to fight.
Yeah.
So you got to hold them down to keep them from fighting. That's why they got three people holding him and not just one. They making, they were sitting there waiting on him to die. Why do you think it take 9 minutes?
Correct.
We waiting on this to kick in. And all of a sudden he go to the funeral director and, I mean, the coroner, and they tell him, oh, you got fentanyl in your system. And you got some meth. Now, y'all can leave me alone with that shit. Y'all killed him. I'm not even sure the ones they calling cops is really cops. I'm going to be honest, and they might get mad at me to find this, but that look like a mob hit me, man. And that fake 20 got more to do with it than what they let on. What is your police force really up to?
You know, it really look. You ever seen any of the Die Hard movies?
Yeah.
See how
if you go back and just wait a minute, hold on, let me stop you right here.
Okay.
And I don't mean to be disrespectful or cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Go back and look at every gangster movie you ever seen. And I guarantee you they got some cop in there that's just as dirty as the gangsters that's in the movie.
Absolutely.
Now, maybe they were telling you something that you didn't quite read.
The facial expression said a lot.
That, you know, you see how he didn't mind having his picture taken or none of that? That's a message, man. That's a message. And the message is pretty clear to me. Y'all open y'all's mouths and start talking about this money that's going to happen to you too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then they had a whole ride to cover that shit up.
Which created a civil unrest. So what do you So let's say, and I'm saying this, I guess, playing devil's advocate.
What?
Let's say that is the theory. The theory you just told us is a fact. What does that do to the civil unrest that ran through not only this country but the world, and that we saw so many so-called white people join in this as well? What does that say for this?
Okay, I can sum that up in one word.
Okay.
Gentrification.
Regime change.
Now, all these places have been tore up. You go look, that Sixth Street in Minneapolis is supposed to be a real popular street. But you got all these niggas in the way.
True.
So what you do, tear up every damn thing. Then they have to rebuild everything, and then when they rebuild it, it's going to cost more, and the niggas don't get pushed out.
You know something? There was one video of this brother who went live. He got shot in the hand, and his phone broke, and he had to get another phone. And he was walking down that strip showing those apartments and the quote-unquote essential workers that were not only working but being protected by the police as they were working.
What about the police just lining up cars for them to tear up? But I'm telling you, gentrification, when them people rebuild them buildings and rebuild them apartments or whatever else is on that damn street, home skillet, black folks, so-called black folks, so-called, I don't care what you want to call them, the ones that look like me, they ain't going to be the fourth letter.
So, let me ask you something, Brother Walter, because this is very, you know, prior to this civil unrest, prior to George Floyd, there was a month where the government, the president, his administration, and all the governors and mayors, they were having a big disagreement about opening up the city. Some said yay, some said nay. And a lot of people said, black people, don't be fools. You're going to run out there and be the first ones to die. So we're supposed to be, you know where I'm going with this. You know, because we're supposed to be 6 feet apart. We're supposed to be in the house, all these things. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's on top of each other, protesting, rioting, and looting.
Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. How many black folks done had funerals that couldn't make family go to?
A lot.
Now, this boy done had 2-3 funerals and the police been packed.
It's not funny.
What happened to social distancing and all that stuff then? Why is we seeing his funeral when none of these other so-called black folks can show their funeral?
No,
why is they gathered up? Why is this? Wait a minute. Why is it safe enough for them to go down there and gather up 400-500 deep? But my son couldn't have a graduation ceremony at his school that probably would have drawn at most 100 people. Somebody won. Ain't no coincidences. Either this virus is for real, and that means that your government just infected thousands and thousands and thousands of people. But this virus is some bullshit. You take your pick.
Right. Well, now see, that's where it gets a little convoluted, because it's not just quote unquote black folk, it's so called white folk, it's so called police folk, it's so called military folk.
Okay, now look at here. Because these so-called black folks have been under a false impression about this game for a long time.
Yeah.
They think these folks is after them. Because, see, now remember our conversation just the other day when I was trying to explain what black and white was?
Yes.
Remember that?
I do, yes.
Okay. Don't you know that all them, or the majority of them so-called white folks they had out there in rioting and tearing up shit, they considered to be black folks, too.
Well, well, well.
So now we're getting rid of a whole section of these black folks that don't know they black folks because we lied to them and told them that they was white folks in 1680-something with bacon rebellion.
And the plot thickens.
The war ain't never been against us. They need us. The land won't produce without us. Why do you think they pushing us out the damn cities now? But there's one thing that some people hate even worse than us.
What's
and that's
that?
Poor white folks.
Yeah, yep.
Now, they got here because they was the dread of society and them other white folks didn't want them around.
Well, let me ask you something, but before we go into that, the history of that, because I know other black folk, so-called black folk, have they would like to be referred to. They believe, and I was of this belief at one time too. I won't lie, I was of this belief at one time too, that a poor whitey, can get dressed up, decorate, change their name, and fit right into this quote-unquote society. But that's not, that may not necessarily be true, is it?
Well, now, okay, you live in New York City, so you're going to be acquainted with these two terms. One is called old money, One is called new money.
Absolutely.
People with old money tend to look down on people with new money.
100%.
So even though they dress up, clean up, move up, they feel blocked out.
You know who I think of when you say that? The very first example of that I've ever read, seen, or heard of was the entire Kennedy family. They were considered new money, and they were never accepted by the old money.
That's where you find Trump. Mm. And this is the reason why Trump don't give not one damn about what nobody else says. Because Trump is like the nigga of rich people. He is. He's just like the nigga of rich people. Trump actually probably understands you better than you understand you on another level. Mm. Mm. They study you.
Yes, that's the truth.
They study you medically. They study you physically. They study you mentally. They study you every which way they can. They know you better than you know you.
So why do black people hate him more than the Bidens and the Obamas and all the others that,
You know why?
Why?
That's real simple. That's real simple. Look at what they're taking in for information. Mm. And look at the sources that they're taking that information from. People have a tendency to take their information from just one place.
That is true.
Well, when you get information from one place, you get one side. But that's two sides to every story. So you going into every battle half-armed.
No, I mean, you get no rebuttals from me. I think I told you one of the biggest issues I've ever had is when they said CNN and I think one other channel, they're like, don't watch him give a speech. Don't listen to what he has to say. And then they followed up by saying, but come to us and we'll let you know. And I was like, wait a minute.
That right there should tell you, you're dealing with some nonsense. Yeah. Anybody that tells you don't go see for yourself is hiding something. So they want to make sure they tell you what it is you're looking at so you don't get the idea that you can figure this shit out on your own.
So let's talk about that, because, we're in 2020. Now, you and I have discussed in these last 40 minutes at least 600 to 700 years of unscrupulous business, because that's pretty much what it was, right?
Yep. From the start. Wow. Go back as far as you want to go back, dude. All it is messed up business deals on both sides of the ocean.
Right. So now, with that being said, I don't even know if the question is how do we fix that. I think the question is how do we continue to allow this collectively?
No. You know what we messed up at?
Tell me.
Desegregation. Hmm. The minute we go back and start rebuilding our own community, policing our own communities, taking care of our own communities, we're going to always see this. We're going to always see this. See, that was the reason why they had all black towns in Oklahoma from the start. Because we went to ourselves and we built our own stuff. As long as we stayed amongst ourselves doing our own thing, we didn't have problems. Understand, the prison system wasn't full of us in the 50s.
That is true.
The prison system wasn't full of us in the early 60s. The prison system only started getting full of us after they called themselves integrating us into white society. Scared the shit out of white folks. Mm. They don't want you around because they don't want to be reminded that they actually just like you. Mm. They believe in their little fairy tale of called white supremacy. But they don't understand when they say white supremacy, they ain't talking about themselves, dummies. y'all, Negroes.
They're talking about...
Thinking y'all white.
They're talking about the Negropeans.
Negro pens. That is a good term for them, but they the pale ones. Mm. And then the main ones you hear running around here talking about white superiority, don't really understand that they're not part of the superiority that they broadcast and fuck. White is not a color. White is a status. Black is a status. Mm. People cannot be Creole. You can't tell who nobody is until you know who their family is.
Correct.
What stock that they come from. That's how you know how people is. It don't matter what you can be blue with purple spots. Where your damn stock come from, though? It must be some more you blue with purple people running around down there too.
No, you're right. If you know, if you consider all ancient texts from Bible to Torah, so whatever it is you want to, and I'm just throwing those two out, but whatever it is, everything is based on a lineage of who you come from, what loins.
Exactly. Every religious book, I mean that word just as I said, religious book has part of that book based on genealogy.
Right.
They've been following genealogy from the start, man. That's what the game is, your genealogy. It ain't nothing to do with your damn skin color.
Because that's in that genealogy, is different.
That's how some of these so-called white folks is really black. Because they talking about crayon colors instead of talking about real life. Because in real life, they are black folks. Y'all members of the underclass.
Mm.
It ain't about color, it's about class and status. That's why the question came up on your thing, how come the black guys get rich and go marry a white woman? That's because they get rich and realize that they was living a lot.
Mm.
And it ain't got nothing to do with your damn skin color, it's your class and the status and the people you move around that changes you from one to another. They're not dating outside their race, they're dating inside their class.
And that's really what it boils down to.
Exactly what it is, man. But because they give us this color thing to keep us talking about the color thing, we don't realize what the true thing is running up under the bottom. Old money, new money. Come on, baby, let's work with this.
Now, you know, not even old religious texts, but old regular books. Old regular books.
All books.
Discuss this.
All the books that come out of Egypt.
All texts from narrative to novel to in the ancient days, in all of this, is based on genealogy. So at some point, which was ultimately separating those of high stature from those who were considered peasants. That's what the game was.
Right, commoners. Yeah.
So at some point during this unscrupulous businessing, they decided to flip it from black, white being class to it representing complexion.
Bacon's Rebellion. I'm going to keep pointing you back that way until you finally see what actually happened during that time.
So let's talk about
Bacon's
that.
Bacon's Rebellion. Bacon's Rebellion is where you get white people from. They made them a whole new underclass and called them white people. And Bacon's Rebellion was in the late 1600s. And I can still pull up the 1870 Nationalization Act and show you that even in 1870, they still wasn't considered free white people.
No, so now, because we can talk about, let's move to Philly for a bit, Pennsylvania, because in the late 1600s through up until the Revolutionary War, right, the 1770s, we had a situation where the Quakers... Okay, so let's talk about them, because they played a part in this as well, no?
Yeah, Quakers were Dutch. They've always played both sides of the field.
Mm.
But they had that religious thing that told them that slavery wasn't cool, so they said they was going to help the slaves.
Now, aren't they the ones who have all the records of everyone?
Well, to be honest, I don't think nobody has all the records. Now, they have a good chunk of the records that they say were slaves that they freed. So here's your deal. You know Ben Franklin, right?
Absolutely.
Do you know he was a runaway slave?
I did not.
Okay. They gave him a pretty name. They call him Indentured Servant. So if you got to run away, he was a slave.
Right.
They had all kinds of little tricks and stuff they could pull to keep you in slavery all your life.
Right. Now that indentured servant and servitude, that was thrown around in a lot of text about, quote unquote, the pale-faced slave, and that they were treated better than the darker complexion slave. They were?
No. Let me help you out there. There's 2 points that I can get out of that you just brought up.
Okay.
The first point is this. If you go back and start reading the advertisements for the missing slaves,
mm-hmm.
the ones you find of the darker skin always tend to be dressed a whole lot better than the ones of paler skin.
Hmm. Hmm.
They'll have new shoes on, new coats, pants without any holes in them. And them other ones will be raggedy as hell.
Right. You can think of that movie, 12 Years a Slave. The character was, he was the upper echelon of the northern end of society, period. Because when he walked in stores, white people... And I say it like this because we were told this didn't happen, but he was spoken to in high regard by white people walking in their establishments.
Yeah, well, of course he was. Yeah, of course he was. Because at that time, you were still operating under the other status.
Mm.
So when he walked into that building and they talked to him with respect, they respected his status, not him as a person.
Mm.
It's always been about status in this country. Look at how these people, they go and break themselves trying to buy fancy clothes and fancy cars and big pretty houses for status.
So this is where the state keeping up with the Joneses comes from, and status
That's
quo.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
But somehow it's been manipulated to black people or those with dark hue or brown hue have no status. You know, that's, I guess that's where the disconnect comes and makes it hard.
Well,
you know,
Well, yeah, and I'm telling you right now, the birth of that was integration.
Because
when you was in your own community, you had status inside your own community. When you came out your own community because you want to live amongst the white folks, then you don't have the status in their community that you had in yours. Mainly because you just cut yourself off from your damn roots, and a tree without roots, they won't live.
That's correct. So now,
they took you off your land where you was around your people doing what you and your people have been doing for thousands and thousands of years, and put you in the city. With people that don't look like you and people that really don't want you there.
Pretty much.
And then they tell you, you're supposed to thrive and survive in this environment.
Pretty much. I mean, that's really how it went. Yeah.
You see?
So
you gave up what you, so in a way, you didn't give it up. It was sold out from under you, basically. And now you live in an apartment in the city instead of living out here on the ground with your grandma in the city. You have to go home for funerals instead of having the funeral at home.
Right. Right.
They separated you from your roots.
Right. So now let's talk.
And that's the reason.
Huh? No. Tell us what that's the reason what, because it might be answering what I'm about to ask you.
Well, if I take you from where you were, then all of a sudden I can start giving you a new history. Then when I start giving you a new history, you forget about the old history, you forget about your old ways, and you forget that one time you was directly tied to this man. So now you're not directly tied to this land. You're directly tied to that apartment building.
Right. Trying to look for something
on somebody else's land.
Right. Trying to look for something to be connected with, and that's what we have block and turf wars. Let me ask you this, because now this is a big conversation in the quote-unquote black African-American community. Every other nationality is connected to a continent except for the so-called African-American. And shouldn't that be a red flag?
That should be the biggest lie that you got told in your life. That's what that should be. Because, of course, they won't tell you where you come from, because where you come from is where you stand.
Okay.
And they don't want you to know that you're still standing on your own home. They said Africans didn't want to run away because they didn't know where they was going. You don't want to run away because you don't know you already there.
Mm-mm-mm.
That shit is innate in your system.
Mm.
There's something about that land that seems to hold you right here. Otherwise, I'd be talking to you from Africa right now.
As many times as they tried to send us back.
They still trying to send you back. They're going to try to send you back again.
Mm-mm-mm. So now with that being said, let's...
Trump, and see, this is what tickles me about Trump.
Okay.
Trump know you don't belong over there. But if you want to go, he'll let you go. That's what you want to do. But he know this is your land. That's why you get this crazy man standing up here in front of God and all the white folks eating fire talking about y'all ain't going to see that to the people I love. Because it was his exact words when Georgia started talking about opening up barbershops and beauty salons and nail stores. That governor in Georgia didn't get that shit out of his mouth good before Trump was on TV talking about no.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, you ain't. And if you do, I'm going to send so much stuff down there. I know I got them covered. And if you ever watch him when he give a speech, he's not going to start that speech and get to the end of that speech before he talk about you. Think about it. Go back and look. When he signed that executive order for the murdered and missing indigenous women, did you notice on your Facebook profile how you quit seeing black women and black kids coming up missing?
I sure did.
And he wrote that specifically because when in the text of the thing, he says American Indian.
And our poor people don't even know.
Just like the 1968 Civil Rights Act also says American Indian. The Indian Civil Rights Act on page 2.
Are the so-called black men and women so fatigued and frustrated they just don't even care at this point to know and understand?
No. First of all, the treatment cuts from the root.
Right.
They still care. You can see them still caring because they can't help but care.
Right.
But they don't have that root, that foundation that they can turn to. So they go around trying to make foundations everywhere. Your Bible says if you build your house on sand, what's going to happen to
it? It's going to go down with the water.
Okay. You build your house on a solid foundation, what's going to happen?
Nothing. It's going to stand strong.
Okay. Now, they done took your foundation away from you guys. You building a foundation and saying, guess why you seeing all these troubles? And then they took you out your school when you were being taught by your teacher, who do your parents and your grandparents and your aunts and your uncles and most of your cousins, and put you into a school where they didn't know nothing about you. And it's awful funny to me. Now, when they talk about when school buses started, they wasn't busing white kids into the black community. They was busing black kids to the white community and closing the black schools.
That's right. So is that indoctrination?
Yes, that's indoctrination.
You're going to learn our way of life.
They ran since the Tuskegee experiment.
Now, with all that being said, Brother Walto, how does that and what does that how does it translate into what we're experiencing right at this moment during this pandemic, during this civil unrest with the blues people?
Well, now, hold on.
Okay.
In the United States, you have a constitutional right to protest.
That is true.
And that's what you see us out here doing. Now, we talk about the rioting and all that stuff there. You don't make them take a group of 10 people.
Hmm.
See, when Trump said, and he said this too not too long ago, as a matter of fact, a peaceful protester, I'm your friend. Matter of fact, he said, I'm your best friend. Can you go back and look at what I said right before that?
Right.
Who's doing the protesting and who's doing the rioting and who the hell is he talking about he's protecting when he says that he's peacefully protesting, I'm your best friend?
So why is it being twisted? If we, and you know, I have to ask this question because you put that so eloquently and so simply, right? They get in front of the camera, black and white alike, and they say black people are peacefully protesting and these white people are trying to set up the black people, yet and still they are in the same breath. He said, if you looting, we shooting. But we're not supposed to. But if one is not looting, why are we so concerned?
We concerned because deep down inside, we know what's fixing to happen to our neighborhood.
Mm.
See, that's what's driving a lot of that stuff. And the majority of us probably don't even understand it to that level yet. But you get attacked where you live. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
And when that home thing is threatened, there's something inside of you that's gonna make you notice it and it's gonna hurt you. See?
No, I hear you, bro.
Because I promise you, them people will not go back to the neighborhood. I see that right here in Oklahoma City, dude. Right here in Oklahoma City, there's a section of Oklahoma City that was just us. That we can't even afford to live in, and if you get to hanging out too much over there, you probably gonna get stressed from.
You know, and that's a great segue because you mentioned a couple of things about Oklahoma during our conversation this evening. Could you tell me why do you think people just focus on Tulsa when that wasn't the only thriving black or black Indian or original town in Oklahoma? Wasn't the entire Oklahoma a thriving community?
When you talk about Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
Oklahoma is kind of different. Because this was a prison camp from the start.
Okay.
You see, that was Oklahoma's whole purpose. That's what Indian Territory was all about. We gonna put these Indians over here and surround them. And that way we don't have no trouble out of there.
Mm.
So you get to Oklahoma, you see things a little differently. But on the other side of Oklahoma, you have people here that still got long memories. And we can remember what was going on.
Mm.
Before all this other stuff started going on. And then you get a little different perspective. See, this is how they affected you when they cut you from your roots. Now, my family's roots is in Alabama, in Mississippi. But we've been in Oklahoma since 1834.
Mm.
So my roots is here.
Got you.
And because my roots is here, I can go back down that tree when I need to see something about the roots. I got an auntie that's alive right now. She'll be 104 this year.
Mm.
A couple of months, as a matter of fact. And her mind is just as sharp as it ever was. So now I can go back to the roots. then I can tell her to go back to her roots. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
So I get a good long view of how this game been played. Now, because I wasn't raised like most people my age, or around most people my age, I was pretty much on my own just being mobile. I got a whole different perspective on how all this. It helped me, somebody that went through the depression in the 30s, they got a different mindset. And that stuff ingrains itself into their mind, and they never quite leave that point in life.
Right.
So they see things a whole lot different than the way we see things now. They understood life at the basic point.
Right.
They didn't have all that school work and all that stuff stored up in their head that really don't get them nowhere. But they had life. They had the cycles. They knew the plant and they knew the animals. They knew what was around them. They knew the area. Like the back of their hand. You can take me back to my hometown. Walk me out in the middle of any one of them woods you want to, spin me around 50 times and I go straight on. All I got to do is look up and see 4 or 5 trees in the right location. I know exactly what direction I'm going.
So many people can't do that right now.
No, because of where you at. That the ever gets to ground I know I'm coming has been covered by people that look like me many, many years before.
That is true.
Well, I'm never really quite alone. I can deal with the night.
I hear that.
I can deal with my own mind. People don't deal with their own mind. You got to have distractions, TV distractions, social media distractions, this distraction, that distraction. You see what I'm saying?
You don't
ever want to really be alone with your own mind and just deal with your own thoughts. See what I'm getting at?
I do.
So you don't never really sit down and get a chance to actually think about what you're seeing. See, my grandma used to tell me, slow down. Look at what you're doing and think about what you got going on. We don't slow down no more. Everything's fast-paced.
That is true.
Gotta get it. So you don't take the time to sit back and do the mental work that you probably really need to do. Because if you did the mental work that you really need to do, then you would see the game that they playing on you every day right in front of your face. Just like them people up there in Washington, D.C. with that cloth wrapped around their neck and that little funny hat on their head down on one knee. What the hell is that proving?
Correct.
What the hell does that prove? It made a mockery out of the whole damn thing. First of all, that cloth is a kente cloth. That's something that the Dutch come up with.
Don't tell some black people that. They're going to go crazy.
Africans
have been telling, quote, that so-called African-Americans, when they do that, it's not only cultural appropriation, but it's disrespectful because that don't even come from them.
That's right. And the beauty of that is they, in a kind of a roundabout way of telling you, you ain't us no way.
People don't want to hear it, man. There's an article that I came across where this, I don't even know if it was a male or female, but they addressed cultural appropriation by black Americans in regards of African culture, and a lot of quote unquote so-called black Americans were upset with me for posting this and saying stuff like, you know, this is divisive. A lot of us are just trying to identify with something and all this other kind of craziness. And I was like, shouldn't you be looking at it more as if these people are telling you you're not from here? But that's
exactly.
Just me.
But these people, you know, it tickles me. They're claiming that they Africans, but they won't go and do their genealogy to prove that they're African.
No.
And how mad is these black folks really going to be when they start talking about we gonna give y'all reparations, but y'all gotta prove that y'all had a family member that was a slave. Okay. Then they go and start hitting them books, and they don't start finding these slaves. But these white folks go hitting them books, and slaves start popping up out the woodwork.
You know, I may have to start doing some apologizing. Because there's a couple of people that I've had in-depth arguments with about slavery, servitude, and this, that, and the third. And all of they fit the description of the being classified as black, but not having skin color as black.
Right. Right. There you go. Now you're starting to see the picture. That's how American Indians became Negroes.
So, okay, I'm going to call this our first installment. I would like to do this a couple more times with you for this particular project. But what I would like to ask you right now, I would like to wrap it up, but I want to ask you this question right now. 50 years from now, when someone listens to this document or reads the transcription, what would you like them to know about this moment in time as a Seminole, a black Seminole, as what we've been deemed as African-American, all of the above?
What I want them to know?
Yeah, what would you want them to know?
That any removal ain't over, and 50 years from now, it'll still not be over.
Mm.
And if people don't understand that, then they're going to have a hard time dealing with what they're going to see.
Because
what you're seeing now, we saw then. Same thing. Same playbook. Then they're the same characters and everything, man. And 50 years from now, you liable to see the same thing going on then. They're going to add a different flavor to it. But they can't never let you understand that you're standing on your own land, because then they're going to have to pay rent.
And that's when that power, when that economic power shift is going to be mega.
The economic power shift will be when we go back to where we were before we decided that we wanted to be somewhere else.
Mm.
In other words, when we go back and rebuild our own communities and start doing business within our own communities and building our status and our respect in our own communities, then the economic base will follow.
I hear that.
In the 1920s, so-called African Americans owned 21 million acres of land. 21 million acres of land. Let that sink in for a minute, man. Because with land comes political power.
That's correct.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These people could exercise political power based on the land holders that they had unknown. See, your whole recipe to defeating this whole problem we see is to become who we were before we became who we thought we wanted to be.
Mm.
We got so deal of goods with that integration bullshit, man.
Amongst other things.
We had a strong black family, so-called black families. We had strong so-called black churches. We had strong so-called black schools. We had strong so-called black communities that was fully capable of policing their own people. And you could go to sleep at night and leave your doors unlocked if you felt like it. We've always been safer when we were together. Now we're not together, and we're under attack from every daggum angle.
Just living. Well, I know over here, we're just packed up on top of each other on someone else's land, so it's just a very stressful environment.
That's right. And that is by design, too. They did a science experiment. Oh, this probably back in the late 70s, early 80s, where they packed in a bunch of rats in a small location just to see what would happen. And the rats turned around and killed each other.
That's what's
happening. Extrapolate that into the human population.
we're watching it.
Of course you're watching it. And you be careful with that term black on black crime, too.
Okay, wait. I need you to break that down before we wrap this one up, please.
Well, no. Sometimes when you see black folks killing black folks, you need to check out who them folks is. But some of them black folks killing black folks was never black folks that was supposed to be over here to begin with. They're black in skin, but they're not us.
Okay, now.
They're hunting us. So now you go to even the prisons and you find that the prison guards is Africans and the prisoners is Americans. You look at a movie like The Black Panther and they show you the Africans are supposed to be so sophisticated and so far along and advanced in this world. But you show the American Negro, he's out of control.
Yeah, and just angry. Angry and full of hatred.
See the image they put out?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
They put that image out all the time. You got two types of Negroes. You either got the angry Negro or you got the magic Negro. And then what you have as far as your characters on TV. And you notice when you got a white superhero, he got a black sidekick running around there somewhere.
That's right. Always. And I mean, we can take that back to Bill Cosby.
That's the magic Negro. Man. He's always the one that can get shit done.
Magically, for them.
Go back. What was that movie Eddie Murphy was in?
48 Hours?
Well, he played the cop.
Huh? Beverly Hills Cop or 48 Hours? Beverly Hills Cop?
The one I think he had the beauty boy with him. Yeah, I think it was Beverly Hills Cop. Where they got him out of jail and had him go into the crime-fighting business.
48 Hours.
Okay.
He was locked up in that, and he ran around with the white dude?
Right.
For 48 hours.
See, he was the magic Negro. They had to go get him out of jail to figure out the crime that they had in front of him. That's the magic Negro. That's his job.
Yeah.
He's doing the work. And then the white boy takes the credit.
We've seen that picture before on several occasions.
You see it every time you look at a movie, damn near.
That's right.
Yeah, they ain't shucking and jiving. Dancing and singing,
they
magic.
Nah, that's for real. I mean, that's really it. Or just grinning ear to ear. Yeah, that was my
even
grandma.
Even that Training Day movie. Even that Training Day movie.
Because he had to answer.
Although Denzel Washington turned out to be the villain, he was still the magic Negro.
Yeah. He had people he had to answer to. That he wasn't a part of that
group.
And then
people didn't look like him.
That's right.
And see, that's another movie right in your face telling you these cops are dirty.
That is true. Even the black ones, right?
Your oppressor always looks like you, baby.
He said, what did he say? I will run all of y'all in. I'm King Kong.
See?
Wow.
Magic Negro. He can do anything, man.
Wow.
Then the coldest science circle was ever invented. And then you watch the movie and you took a certain amount of pride because of the magic Negro.
Well,
white boy watched the movie and he started thinking, I need to buy me a baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let's play that shit. This shit is so twisted up, man. And it's so conflicted. They got people thinking things that ain't true and not thinking things that is true. Don't nobody take the time to sit down and try to figure out what's left and what's right. They just take whatever source they can find that they like the sound of and they go with that. It's called tickling your ears.
And that's in the scripture too, bro.
See? That's what they go after.
Yeah, yeah. There will come a time when people will want their ears tickled.
That's what, man. And then if you tell them anything other than what they ear tickling been used to hear, they turn on you.
What would it be? Don't give pearls to swine, or they will stomp on it and turn around and attack you.
Yep. But that's all they've been doing for 500 damn years. And then just like this George Foreman shit. or George Floyd shit, they got to create some more shit to cover up the last shit they did.
That'll be our next conversation. That young lady, they ran up in a house in Louisville or Lexington?
That's, you know, if folks were wanting to be outside acting up, that's who they should have went outside and acted up about.
Come on.
That's who they should have flipped the hell out about. But they picked this dude right here and flip out about him. And he already dirty as they come. You turn away from this one woman that was doing what everybody claimed that's the right thing to do. To celebrate somebody else who everybody would claim is just bullshitting in the game.
Come on. Well, be careful. Candace Owens is being ran through the ringer for saying this.
Well, that is completely wrong because we have freedom of speech in this country. If she feels that way, that's her right to say that. And ain't nobody supposed to hold that against her. Now, damn it, when they want to go out and say some old crazy-ass nonsense, and you tell them, no, you can't say that, they get mad at you.
They sure do.
They turn around and do it to the next person that just out the blue. Well, somebody makes that make sense.
I can't, as you see, I address that because I just don't understand.
If we have freedom of speech in this country, then she should have the right to say whatever the hell she want to say. She ain't hurt nobody. They didn't have no reason to take no contract for her, nothing. All that shit is illegal. And she's going to get paid.
That's right.
Because now they discriminated against her.
And they've been threatening her a whole bunch of things.
That's just crazy. Everything that's built to make you stay quiet. That's as much of a message as that killing that boy was. And the message is quite simple. Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, shut up and
don't
dribble.
Don't you say that.
Yeah.
Don't you say that.
Right.
Now, you got to ask yourself, when you see somebody telling somebody else to shut up, don't say that. Don't that make you curious?
Always.
Makes me curious as hell.
Because I know something's real.
Because if everybody's screaming, shut up, shut up, shut up, I think that's the person you might need to listen to. Because she ain't tickling no ears right now.
Correctamundo. Correctamundo.
See what I'm getting at?
Yes, I do.
She ain't tickling no ears. She just coming straight off the cuff with it. And in this country, you ain't supposed to be penalized for saying what the hell is on your mind. But you see that ain't true when it comes off. Now, here's the deal. When you see somebody going after one of us like that, you need to check the people who's doing the attacking. Not the person that's being attacked. You see what I'm saying?
No, I do.
Who's your attacker? Because your attacker is going to tell you who the hell's nerves you just crossed over. Now, them is black people, and I know them has got to be black people, especially wouldn't be mad about a word coming out of my mouth. Then you need to figure out what the hell's going on with these black folks. Because now, these black folks are just showing you what I just told you a minute ago. Your oppressor always looks like you. See how that shit works?
Nah, I do, bro.
You see how that shit works?
And it's deep.
And you see who the oppressor is for her.
Her people.
So who you think gonna oppress you? But they gonna tell you them people over there doing it. Well, you the damn law, they can't be doing it because I ain't even over there where they at.
Right.
You can't oppress me if you can't see me.
That's right.
But your black ass, I see you right now.
That's the truth.
See what I'm getting at?
Nah, I do.
That's how oppression works, huh? There ain't no outside force exerted on another force. It's an inside force exerted on another force. So they got you looking to the outside when the attack is from the inside. Come on, baby.
I'm gonna tell you, and you know, I've seen a couple of instances where that happened. And, you know, when you first start receiving that message, it's hard. It's a hard pill to swallow.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. So what are these so-called black powers to be say? Snitches get stitches.
That's right.
They don't want to talk about it. Everything is set up so you don't get to talk about it.
Mm.
They come into your city and tear up your city, but you don't get to talk about it.
That's real.
See what I'm saying?
I do.
Everybody else get a conversation, but you don't.
Mm. The people who's really affected.
How that work? Huh?
I said the people is really affected and can't speak.
No, because as soon as you speak, you're going to have everybody telling you to shut up.
Mm.
Well, if you don't say exactly what the hell they expect you to say, they get in your butt. You just said they did that to you not too terribly long ago.
Yeah, I mean, a couple.
They do it to me every day.
this time is part of it. They don't.
But just as soon as you say something, you can tell who your oppressor is, but then the one's going to try to shut you up.
Mm.
You can't say that. Don't say that. Man, I hate niggas just tripping. See, this is how oppression comes in. And after you go through that so many times, you quit trying to say something because you're tired of everybody jumping on your neck.
And that other power structure comes in, and they're just like, it's just whatever.
Yeah, so now you're seeing two groups of people working on the same objective against one group of people that don't know that the objective is them.
Mm.
And both them people are telling you a daggum lie because they got you looking down the road, across the street, worried about what the fuck these old slimy broke people is doing when you need to be watching these people that call themselves your friends. It's the biggest con game going. And then that con game right there, you can find what happened in Minnesota.
Mm.
And every other city across this country. Look, breadcrumbs is everywhere, man.
That is very true.
These people we asked to with, they done inbred themselves so tight that they really kind of stupid. And they do stupid stuff.
Mm.
Like, why the hell would you start a whole fucking ride just to hide the fact that you killed this man in the middle of the street?
That's why we really got to ask some questions.
Well, yeah. Because it makes no sense. That could have been handled a whole different way.
I mean, you know, if
I've seen people when they were mad at other people, they didn't kill them right there in the street like that.
No.
Take them out around the building or some shit.